today we've been going through the book of Hebrews and looking at the word better that's found in the book of Hebrews, and that word better is found more than a dozen times. We're on the last five. I'll just take two of them this evening, and then the last three and another couple Sunday night. We'll just look at these two. They seem to go together. Very practical lesson. I think it's one that we need to hear over again concerning better. We said tonight's group, we're talking about a better and enduring substance and a better country with this evening. I've given you almost all of my notes. I have very little comment this evening. It's kind of just going to almost read these notes with you or to you. But to start with, I want to read the text in its entirety and then go back through it with each phrase. But here's the word better. In Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 32. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated or enlightened, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. You think struggle would be enough, but it's a struggle with sufferings. Partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, ooh, chains, and joyfully accepted the plunder of your goods. I'm not sure I can do that. I need to learn that. But here's the key phrase. Why were they able to endure all of these things? The last phrase of verse 34, the title of our lesson, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance or patience, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he, meaning Jesus, who is coming, will come and not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Verse 39. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. All right, so let's just kind of quickly go through this. He mentions, first of all, to recall in verse 32, recall the former days. In other words, he's saying to these brethren in Hebrews, remember those early days of Christianity? Those days that you and other Christians had to endure tribulations? So you think about us here. Anyone here as a Christian who's lived any length of time, somebody don't have to live any length of time, but just having lived a Christian life, there's been some struggles. There's been some hardships, and there's been times that you and I have had to endure things. The Hebrew writer, in encouraging them to faithfulness, says, after all these years of endurance, don't give up now. Concerning the present distress, look at all you've come through. Recall those former days. See? You've endured a great struggle with suffering. In other words, you've had a history of a fight of affliction. They've had that. But they've endured. So they're trying to impress upon their minds, don't even think about giving up, like I say, in the present distress. Whatever it is. Remember what you've been through. He says again in verse 33, you were made a spectacle. The King James says gazing stock. Both by the reproaches and tribulations. So now we've had struggle, suffering, spectacle, reproaches, tribulations. I'm thinking about giving up. If I give up, will life be easier? And what he's telling them is, no. Some may think so. I'm giving up this Christian living. It, look at what it does for me. Suffering, struggle, spectacle, reproaches, and tribulations. I don't want to live that way. So you think, well, I'm going to bail out. The Hebrew writer says, no, don't do that. The next phrase in verse 33, he piles the list a little bit higher. You became companions of those who were so treated. In other words, you identified with others going through similar situations. You, even when looking at the hardships of others, you involved yourself in their life to relieve their pain, causing you more. Wow. But you became companions. Well, I love you. You love me. We're a happy family. I was almost going to sing the whole thing, but I didn't know. I'll just leave it right there. We're companions in this. Everything, I'm the only guy in the boat. No, there's all of us are in the proverbial same boat. Others struggle more than others. But he also says in verse 34, joyfully accepting the plundering of your goods. Wow, the hardships keep piling up. These Christians, I put in notes, they suffered heavy losses of possessions. Just a couple verses in Acts 5, verse 41. Right at the beginning of the New Testament church, its existence. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Rejoicing. James 1, verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. Joy. When you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And later in this chapter, he says you need patience, doesn't he? You need patience. But let patience have its perfect work. Wow. So recall, just when you think about today, I'm going through some difficulty, some hardship. Things just aren't going good in my life, whatever it is. It could be illness. It could be just obstacles. It just could be a bump in the road. Think back of all these years of Christianity, all the struggles that you've endured, that you've overcome. Don't forsake it now. Like you say, in the present distress. So verse 34, here's the motivation. Verse 34. Knowing. I mean, take it to heart. Ponder it. Give it some thought. Have confidence in this. Knowing you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Now my substance here on earth, my possessions or our possessions are not enduring. They don't last long. We keep having to replace things. We repaint, remodel, the things of life, our substance in life, just earthly treasure. Jesus said in Matthew 6:19, these treasures on earth, they're subject to moth and rust and destruction, and thieves break through and steal. Add to that water damage. Other things. And I can add to this list some more. I think, wait a minute, I just have possessions that just break. Our substance, our possessions are in storage, and I can't find some of our possessions. I don't know where they are. They're in the garage. They're probably in a box. It's probably under the bottom one. I just can't get it. There's some things that over the years we just lost. That's what happens to our substance on earth. All of these things, moth, rust, destruction, thievery, breakage, storage can't be found, or just lost. I don't want to put it somewhere. It's gone. So Jesus, verse 34, he says, so you have a better and enduring possession for yourself in heaven. And the next phrase that Jesus gives in Matthew 6, verse 20, so lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break through and steal. That's a better possession. That's better. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. My possessions, or our possessions now, our substance, is subject to corruption, but not the treasure in heaven. Peter continues that treasure in heaven is undefiled. It does not fade away. Don't ask to keep repainting. It's reserved in heaven for you. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. We know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal. Eternal. In the heavens. So, you see, we need to know and say it over and over again, we have a more enduring and better substance in heaven. So in verse 35, therefore again, based upon that information, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Don't do that. Don't choose, don't voluntarily cast away your boldness, your faith, your hope, your Christianity, the foundation on which we stand, thoughts of heaven. Don't throw that out. He's reminding the brethren, you've come through all of that to get to this present situation. Don't let whatever is troubling you right now rob you of eternity. Don't do that. Verse 36. So he says, you have need of patience. That's right. I need patience always. For so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Patience. By definition, patience is not just sitting idly by and waiting. There's something attached to it. It's you are waiting in the presence of trials. The patience carries with it that you are in a struggle right now and you need to endure or last, be steadfast, unmovable. Patience carries with it that idea that you're in trouble and you don't bail out when you're in trouble. The victory of faith is, someone said, not attained or achieved by one brilliant campaign, but by a lifetime of patient and faithful service. You may think, oh, I've overcome one struggle. Well, good for you. There's more coming. Bless you. That's a good. Use that and kind of think to yourself, well, I've got through that one. I can get through this one. That's a blessing of trial, of overcoming hardships. You did it once, you can do it again. Plus, people are watching you, and when you overcome your trouble or trials, they're thinking, if you can do it, I can do it too. So you help others when you overcome struggles and difficulties. So don't fail out. Don't give up. You receive the promise. The promise. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, where I am, there you'll be. There you'll be also. So then in the last verses, verses 38 and 39, the just shall live by faith. Right, it takes faith. Faith. If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we're not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So he mentions in verse 34, we have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. The next better, I want to spend just a couple minutes on this one. It's in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. A better country. Well, that's in heaven. So it ties right in. So here are the verses. Hebrews 11, beginning of verse 13. These all died in faith. Those Old Testament heroes. Not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. That's right. Embraced them. Confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Man, when I think, oh, yeah, I'd like to go back. No, verse 16. So now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Better countries, I even put in your notes. They had faith in God's word and what the message of the prophet. These are what we call the heroes of faith. They said, I'm looking for a better country, better than Canaan's land, better than Chaldea, where we came out of. Verse 13, they even confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. We're going to sing two songs in closing. Number 957. We're going to teach and admonish one another in songs. 957. Remember said in Hebrews 11, verse 13, they confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Well, that's what this song says. This world is not my home. I lost everything, didn't I? See what happens to our substance? It just goes. There's a lesson. 957. Let's make two stanzas. Not one of this on the left. 957, first and last.
And this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their song of sweetest praise rings back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world.
Application to that text we just read in Hebrews chapter 11. They desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Number 884. My voice is getting raspy, but this time maybe at least one verse. If I get to the first verse, we'll sing the second. I mean the last. But again, the message of the song, and that's one purpose of our songs, is to teach and admonish or encourage one another. So listen to the words of this song as we've studied the text in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16.
Little no treasure must perish with you sing, however precious they be. If there's a country to which I am going, heaven holds all
sing it at my funeral if I go first. The title of the song is Where the Roses Never Fade. And so the words of the song, I'm going to an east where the streets with gold are laid, where the tree of life is blooming, where the roses never fade. In this world we have our troubles, Satan's snares we must evade. We'll be free from all temptations where the roses never fade. Saved ones gone to be with Jesus in their robes of white arrayed, now are waiting for my coming where the roses never fade. The chorus said, here they bloom but for a season, soon their beauty is decayed, but I'm going to a city where the roses never fade. So that's the lesson for the evening. When we live by faith and remain steadfast, again, God is not ashamed to be called our God. And as He's prepared for us a city. So we have a better substance, a better possession in heaven. And we desire a better country. The verse says that is a heavenly. So next 2 weeks from tonight, Lord willing, the last three of the word better in the book of Hebrews, a better resurrection. God has provided some better thing for us. And the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So I'm going to tell you what the blood of Abel says. All right. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. We'll do that again this evening. If you're not a member of the New Testament church, you would want to have this desire and have this better substance. It can be yours by becoming a Christian, God's child, remaining steadfast, remaining faithful till death. Hear the gospel, believe it, repent, confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and be baptized. From that point on, then begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's always the invitation. Maybe someone here just says, I want brethren to pray with me or for me while the congregation is assembled. You just let that request be made known too. So let's stand together and we'll sing the song Dennis selected for us.